Joydeep Roy Bhattacharya's heartbreaking and haunting novel, The Watch, takes a timeless tragedy and hurls it into present-day Afghanistan, taking its cues from the Antigone myth. Roy Bhattacharya recreates the chaos, intensity, and immediacy of battle and conveys the inevitable repercussions felt by the soldiers, their families, and by one's sister. The result is a gripping tour through the reality of this very contemporary conflict and our most powerful expression to date of the nature and futility of war. Joydeep Roy Bhattacharya was educated in politics and philosophy at Presidency College in Calcutta, as well as the University of Pennsylvania. He lives in the Hudson Valley. He'll be having an event at Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Again, the name of the new book is The Watch. What led you to this particular subject?
Well, it's been a source of great distress for me that these wars, first in Iraq and now in Afghanistan, just seem to go on forever without any definite resolution. And I have friends on both sides, among the Afghans, as well as American officers serving there. And I just felt compelled to write about it from a novelist's point of view, because I think fiction can do a lot to bring the situation home to the reader, so to speak.
And at what point did you say, okay, I want to bring Antigone into this?
Well, you know, this came out of a conversation with a couple of friends. This was in 2009, and I had a very difficult time convincing them that the decision to amp up troop levels, as the president had taken at the time, was not really a good one. And these were very highly educated friends, and we had all taught the play Antigone at various times at Bard College, where I used to teach at that time. And I just had this eureka moment, in the sense that although we've had massive advances in technology, in warfighting technology, the situation created by war remains the same today as it was 3,000 years ago. We're still dealing with soldiers and their families and the consequences that come out of war becoming the fallback position in foreign policy, as it appears to have become these days in the United States.
How much in writing a story like this do you want to share your concern? And obviously, you're telling a story, and it's a hell of a story, and it's heartbreaking, and it's haunting. But there is also the message, too. And what kind of balance is that?
Well, you know, I decided right off the bat to remove myself from the novel. The novel is in seven chapters, and each chapter is in a different voice, as you know.
Yes.
And two of the voices are Afghan, and five of the voices are American. So I take this particular situation, which is in the aftermath of a bloody battle where the Afghans have attacked an American combat post in northern Kandahar, and this is a pretty remote area. And the American company there has just about been able to repel that attack. And in the aftermath of that attack, a young woman shows up and asks for the return of her dead brother's body. Her dead brother happened to be the leader of the Afghan group that attacked the Americans. Now, in presenting the situation, I take seven different perspectives to communicate a couple of things. One, that this is a human tragedy. It doesn't matter if it's set in Afghanistan or it's set anywhere else. And two, everyone has families and everyone has ties. And it isn't my message, the message that I want to communicate to the reader, that's important here, as much as the much more universal message that there's got to be a better way of doing things. Because once you have a situation as you have today, where you have two enormously different cultures, which is American troops in Afghanistan governed by their own military code of conduct, and an enormously tribal culture, very rural, very agrarian, with their own ethics of conduct. Unless you have perfect synchronicity in terms of cultural understanding, you're going to have exactly the kinds of incidents that are happening today in terms of green on blue attacks, where you have Afghan soldiers trained by Americans turning their guns on their trainers. What I've tried to do in this book is explore the many ways in which cultural misunderstandings can occur, even in the best of circumstances. Because if you look at this book, the Americans here have the best of intentions, but they're in a situation where they have to report to a chain of command. And as much as the troops in the base are eventually persuaded that they should ethically return the girl's brother's body to be buried, which is also, of course, the case in the classic Greek myth, they can't do it because they are under orders from their superiors that the body needs to be displayed on television in Kabul, and therefore their hands are tied.
Was it ever a thought that you wanted to go to Afghanistan?
Well, you know, this is one of the things that I think is always tricky when you write fiction. The temptation to go is very strong, but the temptation for me personally as a fiction writer not to go is equally strong, and I'll tell you why. I'm also working on a book set in contemporary Baghdad, but the picture of the city that I have in my head, equivalently, the picture of Kandahar and this combat base that I have in my head, based on my research, my studying, photographs and documents, is just so strong that I'm almost apprehensive that when I go there, I'm either going to be disappointed or all the work that I've done in encapsulating this pictorially in my head and communicating it to the reader will be dissipated. And I think this is the difference between writing fiction and writing nonfiction or journalism, because there you are tied to the facts, whereas in fiction you can really make it timeless. You can take a paradigmatic situation like this, and I'm sure the situation I've written about, both in terms of fatalities on the Afghan and the American side, it's a universal situation. It keeps happening all the time. We've just crossed the threshold of 2,000 fatalities in Afghanistan. And it was really important to me within the parameters of the novel, to have a very cinematic depiction, if you will, of this place and these people that I'm talking about. This is also the reason why I waited until I finished the first draft of the novel before actually talking to American troops who had been there.
I was going to ask you about that.
I wanted that first writing to be completely thorough and then go back and have American officers proofread it.
And what was that experience like for you?
That was fantastic because a number of things happened that I hadn't expected. One, they were very, very supportive. Two, apparently I had my facts right. And more importantly, I was very pleased when they told me that I managed to depict the way soldiers speak, which is laced with a lot of humor and a lot of profanity. And three, they actually encouraged me to write more about this particular story. In other words, write a prequel and a sequel. But we've become very good friends since. And, you know, this is a community that I feel part of now. And as a matter of fact, in April next year, at the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, I will be reading from this book along with four of my friends from the American Army.
So will this relationship and the relationships that you have now with these service members, will that have an impact on the future volumes in this series?
That's an excellent question, Joe. I have to tell you that when I did my book tour in June and July, I made it a feature that at every venue, I had an American officer talk to the audience alongside me about his experiences in Afghanistan. In terms of influencing my writing, if I do write the prequel, that deals entirely with the Afghan family and the events that led up to the events in The Watch. So I think the American officers have really very little to do with what's going on. In terms of the sequel, I bring the surviving members of the company back home to the States and deal with issues that are very close to my heart, which is essentially the readjustment or lack thereof of troops who've been through combat into civilian society, and dealing with things like PTSD and, just the kind of sense of alienation that almost every American soldier I've talked to has communicated to me that they feel when they come back to the States, and they expected, after going through their tours of duty, to sort of segue seamlessly back into civilian society. And it just doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. And when you so you're going to be talking about this book on Thursday night. I'm sorry, you're going to be talking about this book at the Northshire Bookstore on Friday night at 7
yes.
o'clock. And so you're at work on a new book?
I am.
Excellent. And it is not the prequel, or it is the prequel?
Well, it's not the prequel. I'm actually working with two publishers, and the new book is... I'm almost done with it. That has nothing to do with the story of The Watch. That is set in Iran, and that deals with Sufi poetry and Persian calligraphy. But as soon as I finish that, which is going to be within the next 4 weeks or so, I am going to take up the prequel to The Watch, yes.
Excellent. Well, again, the name of the new book is The Watch. Joydeep Roy Bhattacharya's new novel is The Watch. He'll be having an event at Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, Friday night, 7 o'clock, northshire.com for more information. Joydeep, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.